Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
It is a Fan Mailbag Friday here on One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you as we are tuning it up for week two of the NFL season for the Buffalo Bills, headed down to Miami tomorrow to take on the division rival Dolphins, and they'll be doing it in somewhat shorthanded fashion. So glad to have you with us for the next 3 hours, a jam-packed program here on a Friday, as is usually the case. 1 p.m.
Give him the bad news.
1 p.m. the lowdown. Lorenzo Alexander, who we'll be asking an interesting question of.
Yeah, right.
Because Sean McDermott was already asked this question,
Lorenzo,
as we'll get into.
Have you ever thought about playing linebacker for an NFL team?
So we'll get into that, and we'll ask Lorenzo that. 1:20 p.m., Greg Cosell from NFL Films and NFL Matchup on ESPN every Sunday morning. Early in the morning, as he breaks down things with Matt Bowen and one Sal Palantonio, some of the best X's and O's you'll get on football on network television. And then at 2 p.m., MJ Acosta Ruiz will be talking with Maddie Glab in an interesting segment, as she is the first Afro-Latina female to be part of that program now. And we'll get into that with Maddie. A little bit later on the show, that's at 2 p.m., and then at 2:30, Steve, the 10th installment of Tasker's Teammate, as we try and try again to stump you. Steve is on a tear right now. He has gotten his former teammate guessed correctly with at least two clues or three clues. He's gotten it within three clues. Each of the last three times, I have tried to be as vague and cryptic as possible this week. So we'll see if it does the trick.
Who's the one I got? Oh, yeah, it was Jamie Mueller.
Yeah.
Mike Lodish and Henry Jones.
Yeah, you got Henry in two clues last week. It was very disappointing. So we'll see if we can we'll see if we can stump him this week. I think we've got a pretty good one.
John Fina loaded up
in the cannon this week. So we'll see if it works and hope that it puts Steve through the ringer a little bit, because he really hasn't been sufficiently tested. But the headline news today, and, you know, it's already been put out there on Twitter and everywhere else and BuffaloBills.com, because Coach McDermott, in his morning press availability, confirmed that the Bills will not have Matt Milano or Tremaine Edmonds in Sunday's game. And this is significant. These players are on the field more than any other linebackers. Not only that, they're a quintessential part of what makes this defense go. From a coverage standpoint, from a run front standpoint, from a blitzing standpoint. So these two guys are huge parts of what this defense does and how it functions.
This is a big loss. that this one hurts. I mean, this isn't something, this isn't like, you know, might have, you know. No, this hurts. Tremaine and Matt Milano out of the lineup.
Simultaneously.
That's going to be hard. That's going to be hard.
So here is where they probably, as I'm trying to assess this and the impact of the loss, I'm trying to assess where it might hurt them most. And I think it's from a coverage standpoint because of the inexperience of Tyrell Dodson, who's anticipated to be the middle linebacker stepping into the lineup for Tremaine, and then A.J. Klein presumably will be in Milano's spot as he was last week. Now, there is the option of flipping that if they want, because A.J. Klein is familiar in playing all three linebacker positions in this defense, because early in his career when he was in Carolina, he backed up all three linebacker positions. He backed up Luke Kuechly at the mic. He backed up the strong side linebacker, which I believe was Thomas Davis, and he backed up the weak side linebacker, who was Shaq Thompson. He backed up all three spots. So he has familiarity with all three. Where they feel he is best suited for a full game might be different from stepping in midway through the game last week. It's possible.
Right. It's not even, and it might not even be so much where he's best suited. It might be who else is best suited to do something else as well. They may plug him in where they're, where he gives them the most, or where somebody else can give their best. It's bad.
I'm going to say this. No matter where A.J. Klein lines up this week, I'm pretty confident he's going to be the guy with the green dot on the back of his helmet and calling the plays. Because Tyrell Dodson, not to say he's not prepared or wouldn't be capable of calling those plays, but his inexperience sticks out like a sore thumb. And I think because of that, you have your veteran make the calls.
And even though, even if Klein isn't the guy that actually replaces one for one with Tremaine Edmonds, he still might be the guy making the calls, even if he's playing whatever. It's not like you have to have that Tremaine Edmonds guy being it. But let me tell you something, that's a big voice that's gone. These guys are used to hearing Tremaine. He's the guy. It is better now, I think, though, in some ways that it happened now, because after, when you go through training camp, certainly it's been, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks since training camp, but having just come out of training camp, all these guys were getting reps at all these things, and those will be fresh in their mind. So it's not like A.J. Klein has been doing his regular season rotation for 8 weeks, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, wow, now I got to go back and think about what Tremaine does. He's been doing that all through training camp. Mm-hmm. They've had a plan for something happening to Tremaine, and luckily, but now there's hasn't been a lot of time that's passed between the preparation to be his backup and now having to actually step in. So it's not like they're going to drop back to 8 weeks from mid-season and go back and say, remember back in training camp, you know, where you were substituting for Tremaine. Mm-hmm. Now it's fresh in their mind, and they're kind of used to this because they just came out of training camp.
The one thing they are not used to is playing without both of these players. Oof. Since Tremaine and Matt Milano have been teammates here with the Bills, they have never both been out of a single game together for Buffalo. So this is a major adjustment for them. Tremaine Edmonds has only missed one game in his entire career with the Bills. It was due to a concussion that he had on a Monday night game against New England back in 2018, and he missed the game the following week against Chicago, which was a 41-9 loss. Matt Milano's been out of the lineup a little more often, not terribly often, but we know he broke his leg right down by his ankle late in the 2018 season, missed the last three games. And then last year, in 2019, he missed a single game. But these two guys have never been out of the lineup at the same time. And I think it does and will change the way Leslie Frazier calls this game, especially from a coverage standpoint. And I'm telling you, Steve, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if, at times, this defense has six defensive backs on the field in an obvious passing situation, maybe even seven. You may have four guys rushing the passer and two safeties playing in those linebacker spots on an obvious passing situation. You know, third and 11, third and 15.
They won't make that. I don't think they'll make a
blanket
decision.
That won't be their bread and butter.
But what'll happen is they'll say, listen, if they go five wide, then we may go seven DBs. We'll match their personnel. For the most part, I don't think the Dolphins would go five wide. They may go four or three. But I think there'll be a line there, and it'll depend on what the Dolphins throw out there.
Let's remember Chan Gailey's offense. It's a lot of 10 personnel.
Right.
So there could very well be an impetus for the Bills to say, yeah, let's put our corners and DBs out.
Right, that which I think would change things for Chan Gailey. He's like, oh, wait a minute. If they don't have their two linebackers, let's go a little heavy and see if these guys can stuff the run and get their run fits right.
Which I think would play into the hands of the Bills, because I think Dodson and Klein are better run defenders than they are pass defenders. Would you agree? I believe they are.
I don't know that much about them.
They cannot cover the same ground that Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano can. It's as simple as that.
Athleticism, yeah. So now we're back into the Princess Bride debate.
Well, and an indication of that is what the Jets did as soon as A.J. Klein came on the field. They went right at him in the passing game.
Sure.
They went right at him.
He got a holding penalty right away.
They went right at him. And I would anticipate, obviously, you know, Miami is going to see that on tape from last week. They know Klein's in the lineup now. So I think that the Bills are going to have to be very strategic with how they choose the playtime percentages for A.J. Klein, for Tyrell Dodson, and who you would put on the field instead of them. And here's the other thing, too, Steve. You know you don't have Tremaine. You know you don't have Milano. And Coach kind of gave indication this morning on the conference call they're not going to have DelShawn Phillips for special teams either. You're down to three linebackers, okay? And you've got two on your practice squad who I think undoubtedly are going to be elevated on Sunday or Saturday before 4 p.m. from the practice squad, because with these new practice squad rules, you can elevate two players prior to 4 p.m. Saturday to the active roster, and you can use this on a specific player twice during this season. They go right back onto the practice squad on Monday without having to clear waivers. So I expect Deion Lacy, who they just signed yesterday to the practice squad, who was here with the Bills in 2017 and 2018 and knows this defense and can cover because he is athletic. I think he's going to get called up this weekend. I think he will play. And then they'll probably have Andre Smith called up from the practice squad, and I presume that he will take DelShawn Phillips' spot on special teams and play there for them.
Right. Now,
and that would give you five.
Right.
And you can get through a game with five, provided nobody else gets hurt.
Right. And that's for me and you sitting here, we're trying to just connect the dots ourselves. I mean, Sean McDermott hasn't addressed this.
That's our estimate. That's our educated guess.
As two guys who watch the team, I think that's what'll happen. And I think most of that will happen, but I think there's a chance, too, that like maybe one guy or one move may be different. I mean, we may not have it 100% right. And I think, because I've never seen us get it 100% right. But they got to do something. They got to do something. They lost two of their starting linebackers who have been foundational pieces of this defense for 3 years. And, they've got their – but I say this. They're not – this isn't like the first shot over the bow of the coaching staff. They've been ready for this all week. They've started thinking about this for an entire week because they knew – after the game on Sunday, like, listen, it's going to be nip and tuck as to where they're going to be able to go next week. So they probably started having contingencies, which is why they brought back Deion Lacy and the like. So they should be out ahead of this.
So with that in mind, we do want to provide you with exactly what Coach McDermott said. So here is Coach McDermott on the depth at linebacker now with Edmonds and Milano out for Sunday.
Yeah, we've got some pieces with AJ and Tyler Matakevich and Tyrell Dodson. We just signed Deion Lacy there. And so we've got some things that are in the works. We'll just have to see how it plays out for game time.
Any talk internally of reaching out to Lorenzo Alexander at this point, or is that a little premature?
Yeah, no, that's a little premature. You know how we feel about Lorenzo. Love him. Love his family. Once a Bill, always a Bill. In this case, you know, we're 2 days out basically from the game. So, unfortunate that we don't have Tremaine and Matt and DelShawn, but at the same time, we've got to rally the troops and next man up, as you said, Josh.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's basically giving indication he's not going to have DelShawn Phillips either. So you're down to three linebackers. They're going to have to call the two practice squad linebackers up on Sunday, and off you go.
I'll bet Dodson sees a lot of time. I'll bet
he has to. Down.
Yeah,
And Klein that are
I like
probably...
him too. And I'll tell you what, Dodson he's an athlete,
right?
I like that guy. I think he looks the part, and so he's got all the traits that you look for in a guy like that. And he's been here a full year in this defense. although he didn't see much time last year.
No, he was on.
Right.
He's injured.
So I'm thinking this is – and player development, man. You hope this guy steps up. He's like, wow, hey, all right.
I'm going to say this. The Bills coaching staff, there's a lot of really, really good coaches on this staff that develop players. Bob Babich, if he's not the best, he's right behind – I mean, this is one of the best position coaches that Coach McDermott has at his disposal in Bob Babich. You want to talk about player development, look at what he's done with Matt Milano, look at what he's done with Tremaine Edmonds, and there are some other younger players that he's worked with also. I mean, Delshawn Phillips is another example. I mean, this is a guy that nobody even thought was making this roster, but look at how much he's come on to make this roster as a special teams contributor. And then, as you mentioned, Dodson. So –
we're going to get a look at Dodson.
Bob Babich has a very long track record in this league of developing players and maximizing their abilities. So that will be a welcome asset in terms of helping a guy like Dodson play probably 60 to 70 snaps this week, for sure.
Yeah,
it may not be perfect, but I thought Coach had another comment this morning that was interesting with respect to Dodson, because I think what's widely anticipated is he is going to play the equivalent of the playing time that we see Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds play every week, along with A.J. Klein.
And Medakevich.
With some mixing and matching, presumably, based on maybe some certain situations. And Coach McDermott basically said today, we need the people around Tyrell Dodson to rally around him, step their game up. So the job is easier for Tyrell. And that's not only the players on the field. I think that's his coaches also. His position coach is helping him out and kind of guiding him through the scenarios, whether it's on the sideline between series or whether it's shouting something on the field as a pre-snap check. And that's why I believe that they're going to try to just let Tyrell worry about his own position responsibility. You play your role. You do what you have to do on every given play. AJ is going to handle the calls. I think that's how it's going to go.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, they will do much like you see on offense, where you give certain receivers different routes and different, and you know you limit them to where they're lining up. I'm sure they're going to have that kind of thing in place. Not that they have to limit these players in any way, shape, or form, but they're going to know what their strengths and weaknesses are, and they may be able to make some calls that they wouldn't make with Milano or Tremaine Edmonds. Probably Milano more than Edmonds, but they may give. You know, Dodson may be, for all we know, he may be a better pass rusher than Milano is, although Milano's a better coverage guy. Or Dodson may be better in the running, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Dodson is better as a run filler because that's what he did in college. Did more of that, you know, at the linebacker spot, not as much coverage. So I would give the edge to Milano in coverage and pure speed, straight line speed. Dodson's a filler.
Right. My point is the coaches will know that. They'll let him play to his strengths. They'll give him calls where he's called to do the things he does best, and they'll cover for him with other coverage options that they have. So they'll make defensive calls that'll give the guy a chance to be successful.
And just to be clear, I'm not saying that Dodson can't cover. Milano is like Pro Bowl level coverage linebacker.
A really
and
good
used to
linebacker.
Be a safety. Right. So, you know, Dodson doesn't have that in his resume. So you're comparing him to a pretty high level coverage linebacker in this league. So it's not a knock on Dodson. It's just speaking to just how good Milano is. It is Fan Mailbag Friday, where you submit any and all questions regarding the Bills and maybe the NFL in general. And heck, we'll take just about anything. You got a relationship question, Steve, and I'll help you with that too. But we take any and all questions on the Bills on Fridays. So send them in to add us at One Bills Live. And we'll be happy to answer any and all your questions. And they're already streaming in, especially with this linebacker news. So from Nick T, he says, we all agree that losing Josh to injury could be enough to derail what should be a great Bills season. But if Edmonds and Milano miss extended time, could that also derail our season? Or do we have enough depth to recover from starters at any position getting hurt besides Josh? I would say at linebacker, the answer is no. Not for an extended period of time. Now, Coach was asked this morning on the conference call, is there a consideration to put either Tremaine Edmonds or Matt Milano on injured reserve, which has a different meaning this year, but it would essentially mean they're gone for three games if you put them on IR. You can't bring them back any sooner than 3 weeks. So Coach McDermott said today that is premature. It's too early to tell if we need to do that. Now, what's very telling about that comment is he didn't say outright no. He right. said it's too early to tell. So that means, at least to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that means to me that IR is still an option on the table for either one or perhaps both of those players.
And you can see it.
Which, and then it's a concern. Then we're at DEFCON 3.
They've also done that with Josh Norman because of a hammy. It could be the same outlook for Matt Milano, thinking that, well, he might get that third week to on the feet. We might get him back in that third week. So let's not put him on IR because right. by week, he might be ready by week three. And then if he's, or week four, but if we put him on IR, he's out for week four.
Yeah.
So we could get him back for week four.
So that could
be the balance. Or it could be Tremaine Edmonds' shoulder. That's a, you know, who knows? That's impossible to say. But hammies, we kind of get an idea.
And
a bad one's a month.
And to be clear about Josh Norman, because Coach McDermott said this also this morning, he did admit that Josh Norman suffered a setback with his hamstring injury last week, which is why the designation was then made to put him on IR. So hopefully that's not the case for Milano. They've been very cautious with him this week so as not to suffer a setback. He has not practiced at all. He's been doing nothing but getting treatment this week. So hopefully by taking that conservative course of action, IR is not in the cards for Milano, but we'll have to wait and see where it goes from here.
But that if it gets to that point, and we've all seen it, a guy, and I've lived it.
Coming back early from hamstring injuries
right.
is a bad
hamstrings
idea.
Hamstrings is a bad idea. But everything else, his shoulders, you know, elbows, ankles, that kind of stuff, you can kind of work with that, and then it's a little bit more iffy as to, well, you know what, one more week and he will be ready, or two more weeks and he'll be ready, but three, he's got a chance for sure to be back in 3 weeks. So you don't want to put him on IR knowing that he could get that last weekend. Plus, he hasn't really said, well, he did today, I guess, because by saying that they're out. Last we heard, they were day-to-day.
Right.
And Edmonds practiced in a limited basis yesterday, which means he can probably run, having a hard time with his shoulder.
Yeah, still in the red non-contact jersey. Right. So they just don't want any contact on that shoulder whatsoever. Let me ask you this. With these two players out this week, how does that change your expectation on how this game will play out on Sunday? How does it change it for you?
I think it means that the Dolphins are counting on scoring more points than they would have otherwise. I think and I'm not a gambler and I don't even know, but this would move the line, right? If the Bills are 5.5-point favorites, now they may be 3-2, something like that. And it knocks some points off of what they're going to be, because the Dolphins are going to be more successful offensively, you would think.
Right.
So there you go. That's.
I think the game will be closer now. I think that will be the case. We should mention that the two cornerbacks for the Dolphins did play last week, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. But going into the season opener, both of those players were dealing with physical conditions which did not have them at 100%. Xavien Howard is coming off a major knee surgery from the offseason. He is not 100% recovered. He's probably 85-90% recovered. And we know the step up in intensity and demand on the body that regular season games put on players. And Byron Jones, who signed the gigantic contract in the offseason coming over from Dallas to Miami, he has an Achilles problem that he has been working through. They've been pacing him and putting him on a pitch count in practice. And so what I decided to do, Steve, was to go to check out the playtime percentages for both Byron Jones and Xavien Howard in last week's game against the Patriots to see, well, these guys are dealing with these issues. Are they playing a full complement of reps on right. the defensive side of the ball, knowing that these two guys are the number one and number two corners for this Dolphins team? And so they played, let me see, I think it was 65 plays on defense last week, or 64 plays on defense last week, the Dolphins did. Right. And looking at this, Byron Jones played 34 snaps, 53% of the plays. Okay, and you look at their other quarter, Xavien Howard played 27 snaps, 42% of the plays. These two guys were on pitch counts last week. Yeah. There's no mistaking it. These two guys were on pitch counts. Do they play the full amount of reps this week? I don't know. I don't think they do. An Achilles injury is not something to be trifled with, especially at a position like cornerback where you're planting and driving, cutting and moving, turning and flipping your hips,
right,
making a cut on a dime on almost every single play to cover a player. I don't know if he's playing 60, 70 snaps this week, and right, I don't think Xavien Howard is either. So now what happens? Well, now you go deeper into that Dolphins depth chart defensively for them. And what does that mean? Well, that means you're looking at guys like Nick Needham, who I do not think on any day of the week in a given calendar year can cover John Brown or Stephon Diggs one-on-one. That is a gigantic mismatch, okay? Right. Noah Igbinoghene, big, physical corner who can get into the chest of a receiver, knock them off their route, screw up the timing, but
right,
the kid's playing in his second career NFL game, and ideally they want him being in the slot. Okay, so now you're down to who after that? You're talking about Bobby McCain, who got undressed by John Brown last year. Do you want to know what John Brown did in two games against the Dolphins last year? 14 catches, 220 yards, and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Bobby McCain was the guy that was covering him most of those two games because Xavien Howard was out with a knee injury and had to get surgery, as we mentioned. So what am I saying here? I'm saying while there are problems on the Bills' defensive side of the ball, there are things to monitor on the Dolphins' defensive side of the ball and just how long Byron Jones and Xavien Howard can go in this game.
I think the question is also, is the Bills' offense this year, from what we saw last week, are they good enough this year to take some pressure off a defense that's not its best on a given week? Is Josh Allen better this year than he has been? And with
can
Steph
he put up
Diggs,
a 30 spot when you
can
need
he, can he drop 30 to 40 points on a team when you got to light it up? You got to come out. You got to control this game, and you've got to outscore that team a little bit. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah,
and it'll be interesting to see how the Bills coaching staff approaches that question and what they ask him to do and what they think of the Dolphins' defense.
From the One Bills Live fan mailbag here on a Friday, from Jeremy, he says, it's unfortunate that Milano is injured again, as he is a great player, but with the contracts of Edmonds and Josh on the horizon, could Milano be a cap casualty? I don't think the Bills are in a position where they have to necessarily worry about that, at least in terms of how their cap situation looks, in my estimation. I thought that the harder contracts to get done from that 2017 draft class were clearly Tre'Davious White and Deion Dawkins. They're both done. And Tre'Davious White's big money doesn't really kick in until 2022. They kept the last year of his rookie contract intact this year. They kept his fifth-year option that they picked up in May intact for next year, which I think is $10-point-something million. That's a bargain for Tre'Davious White. And then they have a relatively cap-friendly extension for four more years. So if you want to extend Matt Milano between now and the start of next season, and clearly before free agency kicks in, if you really want him back, I think it's very doable. Now, will his injury history come into play, perhaps, in terms of the value that the Bills put on Matt Milano? Perhaps. But my God, there has been so much more good than bad right, with Matt Milano. I think that is something they are willing to work with on him in terms of his injury history. I mean, you say, yes, he has a history of hamstring injuries, and he does. There's no question about it. But the fact remains, he missed three games with a broken bone in his leg, and he missed one game with a hamstring injury. We're talking about four games in 3 years. I mean, it's not like this guy has been unavailable.
It's not going to be about the money either. So when you say cap casualty,
I don't see it.
They can afford him if they want him. Now, it's another story. If they say, you know what, he is too injured. We don't know if we want him. It's not because – it's going to be because they don't think he can stay healthy or will stay healthy, not because they can't afford him. So I don't know what distinction
you want
to make. To me,
that sounds silly, though.
Right.
He's missed four games in 3 years.
Exactly.
I mean, this will be his fifth game missed in 3 years. I mean,
exactly,
that's at a high-impact position.
And I'm surprised it's only been four games in 3 years. It seems like it's been more than that.
Right.
It seems like it's been more than that. So my point would be, no, he's not going to be a cap casualty. If they think he's worth it, they will pay him and he'll be here. And because of the, injuries, it's not like the guy is I don't even think he's fragile. You can say hamstrings or whatever. Everybody's having hamstrings this year. Yeah. So, and a broken bone is a broken bone. It's not like his, you know, he's got an issue, a calcium issue or something like that. They're on top of it. So they'll know better than we do. And just at the surface saying, yeah, the guy got hurt again and he's going to miss him. This guy is, if they want him, he's not going to be a casualty. I think they have plans to keep him no matter what. And they'll get a deal done with him. This is fourth year in the league. So,
it's got to get done soon.
I guess I'm saying between now and next March. He will not be a cap casualty.
From Eric on the fan mailbag, was the lack of production from the running backs a result of good Jets D run front or a sign the Bills still need to work through execution issues? I think it's a combination of both, don't you?
Yeah, I would say the answer is yes.
The answer is yes and yes. The Jets have a good run front, even though they have a lot of other problems elsewhere. They are good up front, and I think the Bills' run blocking is still a work in progress here. And Coach McDermott said as much. He said, we've got some work to do on the offensive line in terms of resetting the line of scrimmage in the run front.
Yeah.
And there's no question about it. They do. So I think they'll have a chance to show they are better than that this week, because I don't think the Dolphins' run front is quite as good, although they have some talented players up there, a lot of first-round draft choices. I don't think it's as good as the Jets' run front. So hopefully more productive gains this week for Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Okay, we have to take a break, but when we come back, more of your questions from the OBL fan mailbag, and we'll get into some other things that we have to regarding this matchup, which includes the passing game of the Miami Dolphins and how that might be impacted based on the availability of Devontae Parker. We hear he is practicing today, but to what extent, we'll try to get to the bottom of that, among many other things impacting this game on Sunday. Plenty more coming up here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hopping and popping here on a Friday. One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you as we are digging deep into the OBL fan mailbag. Any question you have about the Bills, the game this Sunday, how they're going to look without Milano and Edmonds on the field, with both of those guys declared out by Coach McDermott this morning, we'll answer it for you. And we'll probably get some interesting answers from one Lorenzo Alexander, who is coming up at 1 o'clock to give us the lowdown without Mr. Edmonds and Mr. Milano, two former teammates of his, and the potential of what that loss, what those losses might mean for Buffalo's defense, how they execute it, how it will be called, and how the guys that have to replace those two players will fare. Whether it'll be a rotation, whether it'll be two straight guys. I surmise, Steve, that it's going to take more than two guys to replace what those two players do on the field.
And the question is, do they have...
Is it three? Is
do
it four?
Three or four guys who can do that, you know? And if you do, you got to... And can they stay healthy? Plus, it's the ability to anticipate what Buffalo, what the Miami offense is going to do with Chan Gailey at coordinator, how he views your defense, where he thinks your matchups could be. Certainly, when you're playing two guys who have to stop the run and cover, simple logic says you're going to test those guys. So yeah. Chan Cayley's going to put backs and receivers in positions where they're going to be covered by Tyler Medikevich, Terrell Dodson, A.J. Klein, and whoever else is out there. And he's also going to find out what the Bills are doing to cover for those guys, what personnel formations bring which guys off the bench for Bills defense, and vice versa. So they'll be tinkering around with personnel combinations, shifts and motions to find out what the Bills are going to try and do about the absence of Milano and Edmonds, and then try and attack it that way.
From Kate in the OBL fan mailbag, comments out of the Dolphins team coaches seem to be that Cam can run, Josh can run and throw. What do you think the realistic ability of Dolphins, what do you think is the realistic ability of the Dolphins to start our run and passing game for this weekend? Can we get our running backs back on track and in rhythm on Sunday? So she's referring to Cam Newton, who, not for nothing, he can throw too.
Yeah,
he just hasn't been able to due to a major shoulder injury the last 2 years. But he can
MVP,
throw.
Yeah,
that was never in doubt. The man can throw the football. He just didn't last week. They only attempted 19 passes, did the Patriots, because their run game was so effective as they rolled up over 200 yards on the ground against Miami in week one. Now, you would expect the Dolphins to be making a ton of corrections in terms of setting the edge and holding the edge, because they did not against Miami last week, which led to a large degree of their yardage. So if they fix that, does that mean they're going to be able to stop the Bills? Well, maybe with a little bit more effectiveness than they stopped the Patriots, but I don't know that it's a guarantee by any means that they're going to stop the Bills' run game, right?
No, not at all. They're going to have to play better than they did last week. They're going to have to fit better in the run game. They're going to have to count better in the run game. They're going to have to be ready for quarterback runs. And the question is, did they get beat last week by technique, or did they get beat because they just don't have enough talent to stop the Patriots?
I'm going to say it's both.
And it may be both. And that will be a good question for the Bills to answer as well. Do they have enough talent to outperform and outmuscle the Dolphins' defense, or are they going to have to finesse them?
Yeah, I will say this. I think this is a little bit lost on some people that may not remember, recall, what have you. The last meeting against the Dolphins, while the running backs as a whole have not had a great degree of success in the last six meetings with the Dolphins, averaging only 3.6 yards per carry, Devin Singletary in the last meeting with the Dolphins averaged 5 yards a carry. Only had it 15 times, but 15 carries for 75 yards in the last game against the Dolphins. That's pretty productive. And it was right around his season average of 5.1. Now, I'm going to give you a number, Bills fans, that makes you feel even better. Okay? Josh Allen, in his 4 games against the Dolphins, 29 carries, 318 yards. Okay? That's an average of 11 yards a carry. So we had this conversation earlier in the week, Steve. How much is too much carrying for Josh Allen? I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Okay? Pretty sturdy limb, though. The running backs have averaged 3.6 yards a carry in the last six meetings with the Dolphins, as we've mentioned. Okay? Josh Allen has averaged 11 yards a carry in the last 4 meetings with the Dolphins. You're not going to say we're not going to let Josh run the football when that fat number is sitting out there. Am I right?
You mean the Bills?
Yeah.
Sure.
You're going to turn to that based on the history of production that it's given you.
Right.
I mean, that's a first down every time he runs the football.
Right. But you get there trying to manipulate the Dolphins' defense into giving it to you. And some of the runs that Josh had were, you know, they were drop backs where, and you go back to that game 2 years ago when you and I both said yesterday, that was the game when we both knew he was going to be there.
Exactly.
He snaps off a 47-yard run there. And then last year he takes that sweep and goes deep right off the bat. So those runs are added in there. A lot of the runs Josh has gotten, and people and Bills fans know this, he's supposed to be throwing it on that down. And he'll just pull it down, run for the first down. He did it against the Jets this last week. That's where he's getting, I think, the bulk of his yards. The thing that has people afraid of getting him hurt and is he going to be too much is when they call his number, he gets the snap, tucks it under his arm, and it's a run from the get-go. It's a called quarterback run. Those are the ones where you think, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing that so much. But whenever he's supposed to be throwing the football, he's got a little more protection because he's his own best friend. He can throw the thing into the third row and not take a hit.
and take the incompletion, or he can get a positive couple of yards, slide, and get up and do it again. So his running yards are dictated by the opportunities presented him by the Dolphin defense.
Yeah.
If they don't want him to do that, now more than ever, particularly this given this last week against the Jets, he may be able to make him pay with the passing game. He may be in a position where they may say, well, listen, we're gonna stop him from running. Well, if they're going to do that, it looks like from last week, he'll make them pay for that. Yeah. I don't know that that's always been the case.
We do have an update from down in Miami. Dolphins beat reporter, also a good friend of the show, Elaine Pupar from USA Today, said, Brian Flores said post-practice today that Devontae Parker, their number one wide receiver, will be a game-time decision on Sunday. So he's a 50-50 shot to play on Sunday. And I got to believe, Steve, if he's still a 50-50 shot now, there's no way he can be 100% going into this game, can he?
Yeah, well, who knows if he's
it's highly unlikely.
I don't know if Flores probably says it's going to be a game time. He may already know he's going to play, or he may already know he's going to be out. Saying 50-50, I mean,
flip of a coin.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a coin flip or not.
It might be less.
I think it's probably a better than 50-50 chance. Otherwise, they just say he's out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I think that's the minimum chance. They're going to probably work him out.
Yeah, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. Had to leave last week's game against the Patriots. I believe it was late in the first half, and he did not return. Aggravated the hamstring that had been bothering him. And, Steve, we've talked about this. Coming back early from hamstring injuries is a mistake. Flat-out mistake. Especially with the intensity level at which NFL players play, especially at that position, the stop-start nature, the burst that you need to have, that's when it goes on you again. You can jog and build up to top speed slowly with a hamstring injury, but the minute you try to explode off that leg or stop on a dime using that leg and planting that foot, shtoing, there it goes again.
Yeah, and I think the Bills, over the course of Sean McDermott's tenure here, have been on that program. They have always given guys that extra week. It always seems they give them the extra time to come back completely from a hamstring injury. They have – it just seems to me, and I can't think of even a specific like last year with Devin Singletary. He was out a full month with his hamstring. When he came back, he never looked back. Yeah. He was good to go. He was 100% when he came back.
That does speak to the athletic training staff.
It does, and it also speaks with to the patience of the coaching staff to say, listen, we're not bringing that guy back. We'll win with a healthy other guy than to risk him for another month.
From John in the OBL mailbag, our pass protection was okay last week, but our run blocking was not. What are linemen required to do differently between run blocking, pass protection that causes such a difference? You want to take that one?
Well, in run blocking, you're going forward. In pass blocking, you're going backwards.
Right. I think they're talking about the collective work between linemen to make sure it's all in sync. There's more movement downfield, obviously, with the run blocking. So it's not just what you do at the line with your initial assignment, especially if you're one of those guys that's pulling, or you make your initial block and then you get to the second level. So there are different levels of synchronization that have to happen in the run game than maybe in the pass protection.
The differences are
subtle,
pretty pronounced, but they are a little in pass pro. You back up and you're in the same five positions. The guards will always be between the tackles and the center, and how that means when you're in the run game, you'll have a guy, you know, step out of line and pull around the end. You'll have a guy help the center, then move across the formation to the other side. You're going forward, and in pass pro, you're trying to deflect the certainly you're trying to stuff it right where it's at. But when the defensive lineman comes at you as an offensive lineman in the passing game, it's okay to deflect him and just push him away as he runs and deflect his path away from the quarterback. So all of that stuff is in there. It's just an easier, I guess, way is it's just an easier thing to do in pass pro because there is the responsibilities are more simple. In the run game, it's much more complex as to who pulls, who helps, where your help is, and plus pushing a guy against his will. So run game is a little bit harder, and it's more physically demanding in that. Pass pro is as long as you sort through the guys right and get your eyes on the right guy and you know where the rush is coming from, then it's just a matter of getting in the guy's way.
long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to put it. When you're pass pro, you got to get in the guy's way. When the run go, you got to move him in the run game. You got to move the guy. So that's
and a lot of times you got to go find him too.
Right.
At the second level, you got to go find him, and then you got to hit him.
That's right. That's right. And you're trying to hit a guy in space.
Right.
Rather than letting him come to you.
Yeah, usually in pass protection, you got a guy on one shoulder and your other guy on your other shoulder, so there's a confined amount of space unless you're out on the edge of tackle.
Yeah, in your pass pro, the defensive linemen are coming through you. In the run game, you got to go find them and block them in some space and make sure they don't run around you.
All right, more of your questions we will take from the OBL fan mailbag here on Friday. We also have Lorenzo Alexander coming up at the top of the hour. Time to take a break. We'll be back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Here we are on One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker. One other injury update to bring you regarding the Bills-Dolphins game, and this one involves the Dolphins. Again, USA Today Dolphins reporter Alain Poupart, good friend of the show. He's French-Canadian. That's why his name's pronounced that way. But in any event,
thank you.
He mentioned earlier on his Twitter account that Devontae Parker will be a game-time decision per Dolphins coach Brian Flores. He has also said that Brian Flores has said linebacker Alandon Roberts, one of their starting inside linebackers, is out for the game. He is still in the concussion protocol and will not be ready for Sunday's game. So that is a loss for them. So linebackers hard hit on both teams this week, certainly more so by the Bills than the Dolphins. But Alandon Roberts is one of the free agents they signed away from New England, who knows this defense inside and out, along with Kyle Van Noy, another linebacker they signed in free agency from New England. And there was talk this week, Steve, that Van Noy, who has been an outside linebacker for the balance of his career, may be one of the options to move inside to replace Roberts and call the defense, since he knows it just as well. So there's going to be some shuffling at the second layer of the defense for both teams here on Sunday.
Before it's going to be a contest to see who can overcome that stuff like it is. You know, we haven't really thought about it here in Buffalo for the last couple of years because they've been so healthy. But this is what most teams do.
Yeah.
They find a way around the missing pieces of their defense or their offense. Plans. So they got to have a contingency plan and a play calling plan, a play selection plan, a personnel package plan to get around the injuries that hit most of these teams that have not hit the Bills in the last couple of years.
Right. We do want to mention the Bills have announced a series of unique player-inspired apparel items for the 2020 season. Bills fan boxes will be available during the week's prior to all 8 home games, each containing a high-quality player-designed T-shirt along with other exclusive products. A portion of the proceeds each week will benefit a charity of the player's choice. Fans can purchase each box individually at billsfanbox.com, or you can subscribe to receive all remaining boxes for the rest of the season at a 5% discount. The first edition was a Jerry Hughes-designed shirt that had Black Lives Matter on it. It was themed in that fashion. The next edition comes from Motor Singletary, who designed his own shirt, and our MSG viewers are looking at it now. He's basically got himself on the shirt in a Bills uniform, carrying the football. It's got a facsimile signature of his on there, and two tires for feet, basically, motor-inspired for sure. That is the next edition, which will be available this coming week before the Rams game in Week 3 between the Bills and the Rams. So pretty sharp-looking T-shirts, red shirt. And they got Motor in a white jersey, you know, with the white helmet and blue pants and two tires rolling with smoke coming out behind him. He's burning rubber, I guess, on that one.
But it'd be nice if you could wear that to the game, except
BillsFanBox.com.
Yeah.
So that's where to go. And all proceeds go to Motor's charity of choice, which is the Connect Life Foundation. the big blood donation foundation that does a good job here in Western New York. Steve and I do have to take a break, but when we return, it is time for the lowdown. And we'll have some interesting questions for Lorenzo Alexander concerning this game and the linebacker contingencies that will exist now, not only for the Bills, but for the Dolphins, too, with Landon Roberts out for them. All that and more coming your way next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.